red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
To protect the privacy of people involved in these events, some online identities have been replaced with images of actors. A Netflix documentary.
My name's Gireth. I'm keeping you company until 6 o'clock today.
What happened to me is just one big crazy story. You can't even make it up. I had a busy social life in London. I was very focused on my career.
Probably wait a few minutes before I get around to answering your call.
But one day I get a friend request from Bobby that changes my life forever.
I do a video message to the man of my dreams. I should really sort my face out.
I never thought I would be in an online relationship.
I love you from the bottom of my heart.
So many people told me he genuinely loves me. How was I fooled by them?
What I wouldn't give to hold you. I love you so much.
What was a lie?
I have been waiting every day for you to come.
What was the truth?
Never doubted the person that he really is.
I needed Bobby to see me face to face.
A Raw production based on the podcast Sweet Bobby, created by Tortoise Media. A man in a turban calmly sits on a tan leather sofa. Kirat stares. Written and directed by Litania Shannon. The title on black. Sweet Bobby, the letters fracture. Kirat on a sofa faces the camera.
Can we go right back to the start? Tell me about the first time you meet Bobby.
A Facebook page of photos headed Brighton. Incredible time at my bestie's hen do in Brighton. The seafront and the palace pier in the evening.
I first met Bobby in 2011. In the city on the south coast of England called Brighton.
A hen group down shots and dance in a club.
I was out for my friend's hen weekend. I was 32 in a long-term relationship. All my friends are getting married, and I just felt, when's it going to be my turn?
Photos are snapped as they dance in the colourful lights.
I want to dance, let off steam, have a good laugh on the dance floor.
Glasses are raised.
But then I see this tall man in a turban.
He's taller than most other dancers. Kirat stares at him.
I've been talking to him online for the last few months. His name's Bobby Jundu. I'm just like shouting, Bobby, Bobby. And he was like, yes. It was like, he acknowledged it was him. And I'm like, it's Kirat. He's like, who? And I was like, Kirat, from Facebook. We've been talking, but the music was loud. And I was just like, maybe he can't hear me properly and he's drinking. So I just assumed like he was a bit smashed. So I was like, you know, I don't want to embarrass him. And I remember going back and saying, I can't believe I've just bumped into him in Brighton. I never mentioned it to Bobby until many years later. I just thought, it wasn't a big deal.
Kirat nods and stares to camera. The London skyline in sunshine, buses and crowds move across Oxford Circus. Kirat hails a cab.
I'm born and raised in West London. I've lived here all my life.
The Facebook page of Kirat Assi.
I'm a Punjabi Sikh woman. My parents are born in Kenya. And the Kenyan South Asian Sikh community is very small, very tight, and everyone knows everyone's business. Bobby started messaging me about 4 months before I met him in Brighton.
Hey, Kirat, hope you're well.
I didn't automatically add people on Facebook just because they talked to me, but we became friends on Facebook because we had mutual connections. Bobby's younger brother, JJ, was dating my baby cousin, Simran. They were both teenagers, and I was giving them advice. I've always tried to be there for all my cousins.
Younger Simran pouts in a photo. A click on Bobby's photo page.
Bobby comes from a well-respected family in the Kenyan community. He has quite a hoity-toity kind of lifestyle, a well-to-do lifestyle. He's happily married. He's based between Kenya and the UK. And he's a cardiology consultant. He was working all the time. But around 2011, I also had a lot going on. I was progressing with my marketing career.
Kirat dances in a video.
I was doing huge events, festivals, music events, giving emerging artists a stage. Over that period of time, Bobby and I became good friends online.
Smiling photos and Kirat with an artist on stage.
I've got lots of male friends, and Bobby and I seem to have a shared sense of being responsible people within our own circles.
A semi-detached suburban house in Sunshine.
But after a while, things started to go wrong in Bobby's life.
At home, Kirat gets a text from Bobby. Things aren't looking good. Meaning, I'm filing for divorce.
His wife cheated on him.
Kirat sends, I'm so sorry. Here if you want to talk.
All I can do is be a shoulder for him. But because he's sharing so much, I ended up sharing a bit about my own relationship as well.
Photos with emojis over her partner's face.
I was 32. And me and my partner had been together on and off since I was 18. But as soon as we got close to getting married, they'd just get cold feet. They'd disappear for a year. And then as soon as I kind of tried to move on, he would reappear. And I would always go back to him because it was like that whole loyalty, that whole how I'd been brought up.
Kirat and a friend pretend to box in wedding finery.
Marriage is a big deal in our culture. From a very young age, I dreamed of getting married and having a family early. That's what matters to me more than anything else. There's a picture of me as I think I was two. My auntie dressed me up in my mum's wedding outfit. That's their hopes and dreams as well.
Marriage is important. I've always said, Kira, look, you have to get married. And every parent wishes to be a grandparent, you know.
She had quite a number of proposals as soon as she came back from uni, and she always declined.
It's not that we haven't helped. It's for her to make up her mind.
I want to make sure she's happy. But if the girl does not get married, I think you're looked down upon. And I think she feels pressure from the community, from the friends, from the families, when they think, oh my God, why is she still not married?
Saraf Palanakvinder, Kirat's dad and mum, then her cousin Roshni.
Kirat is my cousin, but really I think of her as my older sister. Just someone that you can go to for advice. Not just me, but all of the cousins. I've been with Kirat when she's received comments of, have you found someone yet, or do you need us to find you someone?
A couple of weddings I've been sat at the kids' table.
Kirat sends, I'm a disgrace, nearly 33, never married.
I would vent my frustrations with Bobby.
He replies, you forgot to mention the nice things, Kirat. I'm a kid until I'm married, and they're right. Bobby, they're not.
Bobby was the person who was saying, no, you're fine, there's nothing wrong with you.
Kirat smiles on a sunny street and in her office. A post reads, wedding season is underway, so many special days to celebrate this year.
Over the next few months, I didn't hear from Bobby. And obviously I just thought, after his divorce, he's getting on with his life.
He throws an axe at a target. A message pops up.
And then he messages me out of the blue.
Hello, it's been ages. Hope life is treating you well. She replies, hey, a catch-up is long overdue. With kisses.
He's like, hey, I've got something to tell you.
He's on a boat with a young woman in bright sunshine. And the message, I've got engaged.
So, her name's Sanj.
I cannot imagine being happier than I am with you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Will you be my wife? Is that a yes?
A video. She said yes.
I was concerned that it was a rebound.
because it happened within a year of breaking up with his ex.
Kirat sends, God, I'm really emotional. I'm so, so happy for you.
But he seemed happy, and as long as he was happy, then who was I to say anything?
Kirat stares ahead on the interview sofa, a photo of Bobby and Sanj headed, My Everything.
Bobby wanted me to meet Sanj and get to know her, and we became friends on Facebook. I am invited to the wedding, and due to family circumstances at that time, I just couldn't go.
Kirat sends, Sorry I can't be there for your special day. Thank you for even thinking of me.
They got married in Kenya in December 2012.
Kirat scrolls through a timeline of photos.
As time goes on, I stay in touch with them.
A photo is headed Mudley in Love and they wear tough mudder headbands. A pink corner building bears a sign for Desi Radio. A red on-air light flashes.
You listen to the sounds of the Five Rivers that is Desi Radio on 1602 AM.
Kirat dances in the DJ booth.
Thursdays is Radio Day. My show is called the Bungalow Road Show.
My name's Kirat. I'm keeping you company until 6 o'clock.
I'll probably wait a few minutes before I get round to answering your calls, but I promise you I will do my very best to do so, because all these people
I'm doing my show.
Hello, Desi Radio.
And I've got Facebook open because lots of people message me the shout out.
Okay, goodbye.
At the mixing desk, Kirat scrolls through Facebook. A post from Sanj appears.
On my Facebook feed, Sanj has posted a photo of Bobby with a comment saying Bobby's been shot several times in Kenya. He's in a critical condition and he's in a coma. I feel sick seeing something like that. And I was so worried about him. But I've got a show to finish. I've got listeners that I'm talking to, and I've still got to carry on and get through the show. I'm fearing the worst.
It says he was shot 6 times. He's in a coma, fighting for his life. In her house after dark, Kirat types on her laptop.
Thankfully, my cousin Simran is in Kenya as well. Simran and Bobby's family were old family friends and they were quite close. She was providing me updates, so that was helpful. Bobby's in a serious condition. All I can do is pray that he makes it through.
Jaswant, Kirat's aunt.
My daughter Roshni and I popped round Kirat's house. You could tell that she was quite upset, and I said, are you okay? And she said, no, Bobby's been shot.
It was just absolutely mental. Like, so many questions shoot through your head. You're like, is he okay? What's going to happen now?
I gave her a hug and she just let it all out. She was crying, and it was then that I realised that even though their friendship was on Facebook only, it obviously was a very deep friendship.
With a vista of the London suburbs, Kirat drives in her car. She pops on the radio as she makes her way through traffic.
I'd been friends with Bobby for 3 years. It's just sad that I hadn't got to meet him again before all this happened. And then one day, I'm at work.
Kirat's mobile goes off.
I get a call from Simran. That changes everything. Absolutely everything. She tells me Bobby's in witness protection in a hospital in New York, recovering from his awful injuries. Witness protection? New York. What is going on? I didn't understand.
Ever wonder what happens when you disappear in plain sight with the help of the federal government?
Apparently, he was escorted from Nairobi to New York
with the support of Interpol.
It's a program shrouded in secrecy, run by the U.S. Marshal Service. Witnesses in danger are protected, relocated, and given new identities.
It's just something like out of a movie, and quite a hard thing to get your head round. I understood for someone to be in witness protection, there had to be some kind of threat to life. Bobby's from a well-known family, and some of the photos and things that I've seen online show wealth, which is why he might be targeted.
Just in the last few minutes, we have heard heavy gunfire.
People being shot in Kenya wasn't unusual. It's less common now, but even in my own friends and family circle, people have been murdered or killed. Just thought after the shooting incident, his powerful family had to get him out of danger.
Kirat purses her lips. At home on her laptop, she clicks on a message.
Bobby messages me, but from a new Facebook profile. He tells me he's in witness protection because of a failed business deal that he'd done, and ultimately he was the one that paid the price.
Kirat stares off. She sends, "How come you were able to message me?" He replies, "Going against what they said."
I'm terrified, because if anyone caught him communicating with me, I might put myself in danger.
Bobby sends, "Don't want to live."
But Bobby wasn't coping. His mental health has deteriorated.
"Can't do this. I'm a wreck, Kirat."
And under the pressure of everything that's happened, Bobby and Sanjay's marriage starts to fall apart, and eventually end up getting divorced.
"Sanj, I don't want anything to do with him."
Bobby had nobody. I'm really, really concerned. He's clearly dealing with a lot of negative things in his life.
He sends, "Everything and everyone has been taken away from me. Kirat, but you have me." Kirat scrolls back through photos, including one tagged, "Happy birthday to me, 35 today. There are photos of a trip to Rome, then back to work. Kirat sits at the bar in a coffee shop with her laptop.
I try to be there for him as much as I can. But then I have a very horrible breakup with my partner.
She looks emotional.
After 18 years, we broke up for good.
Kirat changes her status to single.
And I was scared of letting my parents down and doing the wrong thing by them.
I felt very upset because they had dreams together. They were planning the wedding. Kirat was thinking that she's going to let us down because we were always hoping for her to just get married and settled. I always say it's not her fault. We are always there to support her.
I am distraught. I'm 35 already. Took away a massive part of my future plan. And it takes time to come to terms with that.
Kirat sits on a bench by the River Thames opposite the Houses of Parliament. A message pops up.
But Bobby would always check in on me, even though he was struggling with his health. Bobby introduced me to a couple of his friends and family online as well. Somebody from Witness Protection had okayed for him to talk to us. There was a particular cousin of Bobby's called Yashvir. Everyone called him Yash. Yash was a bit of a clown, he was a bit of an entertainer.
"Did Bobs give you strict orders to look after me? Yash, Batman is healing your superpower, so Robin has to take over, no? You really are a nutter."
We are constantly speaking to Bobby to keep his spirits up in hospital. There's another person who I'm beginning to speak to a lot more. His name's Rajveer.
He sends, "Don't stress about anything. I will keep you updated."
Like Bobby, He's also a medic, and he's managed to get himself on the medical team to help Bobby in witness protection.
Kirat, what happens next? Ranjveer, medication, maybe further surgery if they see fit.
He starts asking me a lot of questions about things Bobby might have said to me and how he's feeling, to check in on his mental health. But he's also talking to Yash. So eventually the three of us set up a Facebook group. We become the three amigos.
Kirat creates the group, then starts with, "Hey guys, now we can talk more easily. Yash, great idea."
Bobby and I have been speaking for 4 years now. We've sent thousands of messages. One day, he tells me he loves me. Oh, I totally ignored that comment. I was adamant he was not in the right headspace. I know I wasn't in the right place to start a new relationship.
Yash, he's talking to you. Kirat, yup. One more twist. But you must keep it to yourself. He thinks he's in love with me.
Yashveer and Rajveer were both saying, no, he really loves you. It's so obvious. I was taking time to process everything. When something happens,
Bobby writes, "It's gone all funny. My right side feels numb. Can't feel anything." Kirat, what?
He starts to experience symptoms of a stroke. And there's no reply. Eventually, Rajveer shares a picture of Bobby in his hospital bed. There was just wires everywhere.
The message with it is, his body is giving up.
He asks me to record a farewell message. He says, you know, there's a chance that he can hear you.
All anonymous. I won't listen to it.
I love you so much, Bobby. Whatever it is we have, it's special. I wish things could have been different. If I could just hold you once, I'll never forget you. I love you, Bobby.
Kirat closes her eyes as she listens.
Just can't believe it took him being on his deathbed for me to realise that it was a special friendship.
Kirat dabs her eyes with a tissue and takes deep breaths, tilting her head back. A leafy stretch of river on a sunny day with a stone bridge and ducks paddling. Kirat walks in a park.
Incredibly, he manages to pull through. Just try to imagine how he must be feeling, being alone in a hospital where he didn't have people he knew and loved around him. Because of the stroke, he was paralysed on one side and he lost his voice. But at the moment, he's alive. Luckily, he had some movement, so he's able to actually message me.
Hello, Kirat. This is me trying really hard in rehab as I'm learning to use everyday devices. Hopefully, I can talk to you soon. Love you, with kisses. Kirat. Ah, I want to cry. Amazing. Love you loads, with kisses.
And on Valentine's Day, Bobby sends me the first romantic message. He says, with a woman like you in my life, I really am the luckiest man in the world. You should be told how amazing you are every day, all year round. My beautiful Kirat, I love you. Happy Valentine's Day. From this moment on, we're now in a relationship. We're committed to each other. And that means I'm in it for the long haul. Because if I commit, I commit.
Kirat mentioned about her relationship with Bobby. His family was quite popular, very well known. I didn't know them personally, but we knew the family was really good.
Kira was quite confident that what she knew about him was fine.
I said, do you really think you want to go ahead with somebody who's not very well? Kira's answer was, something can always go wrong, even once she's married, so she wanted to move forward.
So tell me, what you're doing?
Like you do in a normal relationship, we get to know each other better and we try to make it as normal as you can online.
I want you to make a big deal about absolutely everything because I want to hear every tiny detail.
His vocal cords were damaged, so he couldn't speak at all.
It might be boring to you, but for me, it makes me feel like I'm a part of your life.
I'd record a voice note and he would reply, typing. We started doing things like date nights.
You're not seeing anything good.
We both supported the same football team, Manchester United.
So if you're well enough.
And we'd watch games online together. This is very much the nice honeymoon period. I am falling in love with him, maybe. But the only thing I had were old pictures of him online.
You make me smile every single day. You make me feel loved every single day.
Kirat sends, I want baby sweets. Bobby replies, little Kirat Juniors. Kirat counters, Bobby Juniors.
Is there a sexual side to your relationship with Bobby?
Well, that's rather private. Is that an appropriate question to ask?
Do you know what I always think about? What amazing stories we're going to have to tell our babies.
Bobby, I know, right? They'll be like, our parents are weirdos.
Bobby had always wanted to be a dad. We both knew how much it meant to each of us. We've been together for 3 months. His rehabilitation program was working. Bobby has got hope. I think some people would think, oh my God, you've still only met him in person once in Brighton. But I think with Bobby, I was thinking, it's just nice to have something I've never had, which is that respect and to be loved unconditionally. Because that's how it felt. Like, it doesn't matter what I did, Bobby was always there.
I love you from the bottom of my heart.
One day while we're messing around on a new feature on Facebook, Bobby proposes to me.
On a drawing app, will you be my Mrs. Jandu?
I mean, it's quite an unusual way to do it. But I don't need a big extravagant proposal. Of course, all girls dream of them, but lots of things seem like they're superficial and for show. So an understated proposal is good enough.
Be sweet. You believe it can happen? Because I'm going to cry.
Bobby, I want to marry you, grow old with you and never stop loving you.
At 36, the clock's still ticking and I want to have kids. That's a big thing. I thought to myself, yes, this could be. So I said yes.
Their photos appear in a heart frame.
He's really, really keen. You know, he's already looking at wedding venues and outfits and sending me what he wanted to wear and everything. He showed me a very bling ring. What do you think of this as your engagement ring? It was very nice. But for me, it wasn't practical because I wanted to wear it all the time. It had lots and lots and lots of diamonds. I told Rajveer about all the wedding stuff.
She sends, last night we talked everything through. Marriage, where to live, everything. Kirat looks at dresses in a shop window.
The proposal is unofficial because the families haven't met, but that promise has been made between us and that's still important. Bobby and I discussed telling our families. I was really nervous, but I speak to my mum.
I was over the moon because I was thinking at last Kirat is going to move forward. But then I did mention, I said, this cannot go ahead without your dad's permission. Bobby did not want me to tell anything to my husband because Bobby wanted to break the news himself and give my husband a surprise. He wanted to come all the way from New York and see him face to face and break the news to him.
The parents sit expressionlessly side by side.
With Bobby's family, Bobby thought that being introduced to his cousins first was the best way to do it. He set up a group. I think there were about 30 of us.
Messages of welcome and congratulation pop in.
Everyone was like, hi, it's so nice to meet you.
I felt really happy for her. Like, this is my cousin. Like, she's finally found someone who is right for her. Like, I was really looking forward to meeting him.
Rushni also starts talking to Bobby.
Hey, Bobby. Miss talking to you. Well,
you didn't talk to him.
Facebooking you, same thing.
When Kirith was speaking to Bobby, sometimes she'd send voice notes and I would be around, so I would say some random stuff, be playful, you know, like...
Hello, it's just me. That was Roshni. She's on my floor with me.
I was classic teenager, super angsty. Bobby was a doctor, so I started to speak to Bobby about how I was feeling and who gives good advice, and I feel like I've been listened to and heard.
Instead of messaging, Bobby and I have stopped using Skype.
Yes, you do. Many times have I caught you out.
Because he was in witness protection, we weren't allowed to have a video call. It was just too risky.
Ooh.
Even though Bobby couldn't speak, he would communicate just by making some kind of noise, whether it was a tap, a grunt, or whatever it was. And we'd just fall asleep with the line open.
Good morning, sweetheart. We've been Skyping all night. I stayed with you all night. That was so lovely.
Eventually, we started speaking on the phone with speech therapy. He was able to whisper, like a hoarse whisper, like half a voice, like this kind of thing. But it's never, ever his normal full voice ever again. He constantly said how he hated his voice.
I had a couple of opportunities talking to Bobby on the phone, and I found his voice very strange. It was very squeaky. Kirith was upset when I mentioned it. She said, please don't judge him. But despite this, I was very happy for Kirith.
Bobby, good afternoon, Mum. How was your day?
We did exchange text messages. He used to talk about food, and he would ask, what did I make?
Akvinda replies, I've decided to bake a carrot cake. Bobby, carrot cake is my favourite.
He said once they get married, he'll be cooking for me, so I won't have to cook anymore.
Bobby, we are really looking forward to having you here as part of the family.
The family were really happy for her, but obviously being mid-30s, the pressure was on her. So when are we going to meet him? And when are you actually going to get married?
The morning New York skyline and the Brooklyn Bridge.
Bobby is still in New York in witness protection. But not long after we get engaged, it's Father's Day, and he's received an official-looking envelope. And he says he's got something to tell me and to brace myself.
Bobby sends on Messenger, Sanj is having my child.
Yeah.
Kirith replies, how? On the sofa, she shakes her head.
I can't understand it because he's been divorced for such a long time.
He sends, I can't leave you. You should hate me. I'm sorry for hurting you. Hate myself.
He's basically forced to admit to me that he's slept with her on one occasion, 7 or 8 months ago, before we got together. I'm very aware of the problems Sanj might create.
I don't want to feel that I'm suddenly second best. That I'm never going to have you to myself. Haven't had you to myself up till now.
Kira drives in the rain.
It just felt unfair. Knowing how much I wanted to be a mom.
A cursor clicks on Simran's page.
My cousin Simran is helping me and supporting me. I'd been so conscious of not speaking to her about things because she's my baby cousin. But the dynamic had obviously changed because she's in her mid-20s now and she's known Bobby far longer than I have. And poor Simran, I am constantly messaging her.
She sends, "Sim, please help me." Simran replies, "You have to trust him. Kirat, I do, and Simran, everything crossed for you guys."
No matter what Bobby did, she's like, "But he loves you. You know he loves you." I feel like she's got that soft spot for Bobby for whatever reason. After calming down, I send quite a straightforward, simple message to Bobby. "Your baby, I can manage, but I don't want Sanj in my life."
Aunt Jaswant.
I was shocked and I just couldn't believe that Kirat was being so collective about the whole thing and very trusting. I think that was the moment that I started having my doubts about the whole relationship between Bobby and Kirat.
Kirat messages Kiran. "You're one of the few people I trust. Kiran, I won't tell anyone."
I end up speaking to Bobby's cousin, Kiran. She's Yashvi's big sister. I have a lot of respect for her.
"Kirat, if we stay together, will you speak to him for me? Kiran, only for you."
As a Punjabi Sikh woman, she would understand that humiliation of having to explain things to my family and, you know, my family may be going, "Just leave this." And I don't want to tell something like that to my mom.
"Kiran, he can't just go around doing the things he does. Kirat, I've told him that." Kirat stares at her screen and photos of Sanj with a baby. "Welcome to the world, little Jandu."
Sanj gives birth to a baby boy on the 27th of June, 2015. Bobby needed to make a choice. I've put it to him that he should go back to Sanj and end us.
"Bobby, sweetheart, I have never loved someone like I've loved you. Please."
"But he wants to be with me. He chooses me. So we've got to make this work."
"We can do this. There's no point in feeling anything about what's done. He's here. And we just have to show him that he's loved."
At her house after dark, Kirat sends a text.
"Bobby makes an effort to include me in everything.
Have you decided on a name?"
We've spent couple of nights choosing names. He really liked Javier. We chose baby clothes. And a couple of weeks later, Bobby's now starting to get pictures of his son. It was nice to see that Sanj actually put the clothes on him.
"Do I need to come over there or are they going to sort you out to come here soon?"
18 months into our relationship, lots and lots of attempts have been made to be together.
Kirat types. Bobby smiles in a framed photo. Kirat messages Rajveer. "Rajveer, I will try my best to sort this out. It's a strong case, I believe."
Rajveer has promised me he's going to do everything he can to make it happen. But Bobby's in witness protection, so there's a procedure and a process they have to follow as well. And all we've got to do is wait this period out. So, for the time being, I ask Bobby for something that was his, something that he'd touched.
"Kadu, can I send my T-shirt?"
So he was like, he's going to give me one of his T-shirts.
"Yes, of course, baby, as long as you are following close behind."
And because Simran got this new jet-setting job, she's required to go to head office in New York.
"Bobby, I sent your shirt to Sim. Kirat, ah, thank you, with kisses."
he managed to get the nurse to give his T-shirt to Simran. And when she gets back, I meet her to pick up the T-shirt.
Kirat waits in a coffee shop.
Bobby had told me he sprayed it with his aftershave, so it's going to stink a whole suitcase out. And I smelled the aftershave. It was like, okay, he did it. She must be fuming.
Bobby, wear the shirt tonight? Kirat, I'm wearing it. And a smile emoji. She takes a photo wearing the shirt.
Bobby made me feel loved. And given the obstacles, things were going well. But despite this, there's only so much you can live a relationship online. You have to be with each other.
Rajveer messages, we just heard the decision. It's a no, I'm sorry. Kirat, thank you for trying.
But there's always a reason why he can't come. It was really frustrating.
But do you know how much I want to be with you? Do you know how much I want to look after you?
I was very disappointed as well for him not turning up, and I was trying to console Kirat every time, but then she wouldn't discuss her feelings openly with me, thinking that I will be upset and distressed about all this.
I'd do anything.
The stress of the situation is too much for him, and things start to feel different between us. Because of the stroke, Bobby's health was up and down, and his mental health was fragile. He started to lean on me quite a lot.
Kirat texts under her duvet.
But I found myself walking on eggshells because he was sensitive to absolutely everything. If I needed to go through the bathroom, I didn't want to wake him up. So quietly, I just go.
Bobby calls as Kirat leaves the bedroom.
It's like, where were you? If I wasn't on the other end of the phone line, it upset him. It was almost like I needed his permission. So every time I went to the bathroom, I started telling him.
Kirat grimaces, looking thoughtful. Roshni.
When I was there to hang out, like, she would be on the phone to him, she would be messaging him, like, he would just be texting her, like, constantly. And it was like, I've only been here for an hour and you've already had several emergencies.
7 a.m.
Every day, I'd get up in the morning, take a selfie, send it to Bobby on Messenger, go to work, keep Facebook open for Bobby, drive home, eat dinner, spend time with my family. Then the Skype call would start.
7 a.m.
Days would stop gelling into one. It was like he was attached to me. It was like Bobby owned my time now.
Kirat sends, I'm having a panic attack. Bobby sends, I'm fed up of it. You really piss me off so much with the shit you make up.
Please stop this. Please. I love you.
A photo of Kirat in tears. Roshni.
I noticed that she's pulling away a lot from family, from friends, from me. I'm really worried about her at this point.
I can't face anybody at home. I can't face work. I can't face anything.
On several occasions, I've been tempted to disappear.
Call me on Skype. Kirat, I'm going to block you. Bobby, call me with exclamation marks. I'm begging you. And please in capitals.
But if I try to disappear, then something had happened.
Bobby, I'm going to die from a heart attack. Rajveer, they're saying he's turning blue.
I feel like I need to make sure that I don't upset him because it might affect his health again.
Bobby, panicked. What are you doing? Kirat walks along a nighttime street.
I'd be talking to Yash, Bobby's cousin. Bobby would get jealous. And Bobby then would be messaging me separately, saying angrily, like, this is our time, why are you talking to him? I'm on the phone with one person, and another person's contacting me, and they're messaging each other while they're messaging me.
Kirit sits in a bus stop as message after message arrives on her phone. Kirit sends, I'm going to go for breakfast with a friend for our birthdays. Bobby, you go, but I'm not happy with it. End of. Akvinder.
She was always told where to go and where not to go.
Jaswant.
She wasn't her normal lively self. She stopped going out as such. It was a total takeover of her life. Everything was totally Bobby.
She doesn't have the capacity for anything else. She was not taking care of herself. She was losing weight. She looked like death.
Roshni looks upset.
Eventually, I'm made redundant from my full-time marketing job. And at the end of the year, I don't even have a job. And I'm doing one of my final radio shows of the year, and he's on the Skype call with me. And I'm answering calls, doing my thing as usual.
Do mazi. Mei mazi.
And he says, I'm flirting.
Hi, Rajvi, I don't know. He's accused me of flirting again. He's a regular caller, somebody who's been calling for a year and a half. And he got angry.
Rajveer, imagine being in his condition. That really annoyed him. Kirit, in my eyes, that was innocent. Rajveer, it just comes across as very wrong, overly friendly.
At this point, we've all found a reason to have a go at me. So to prove, you know, I'm committed, I'm loyal, so I give up my show.
Jaswant.
I thought that was a very controlling move and manipulative, I think.
Photos of bouquets of red roses and a card. I'm sorry, I love you, Bobby.
Bobby always finds a way to make me feel better.
He's sending flowers and all sorts of gifts to Kirat regularly.
Thank you. You know, I put them on for you and take a picture.
Jaswant.
When I mentioned my doubts about Bobby, Kirat used to get really upset and emotional and say, we are going to get married, and that was the end of her. It was really hard to budge Kirat's decisions.
This whole thing has become too important to fail. I'm not 20-something. If there's a chance this could still work, I wanted it to work.
Streets of suburban semi-detached houses.
I have been waiting every day for a yes for you to come.
Finally, Bobby's witness protection contract ends. There is no excuse. He has promised me he's coming to the UK.
Looking at flights.
I'm trying to stay positive, but we get bad news. My grandmother, who I'm extremely close to, was sick. We were told she could be dying. We used to go there, you know, sing. She liked singing.
Kirit sings and claps with her grandmother in a garden.
But because I was sleeping on the phone with Bobby every night, I couldn't stay the night with her. My grandmother passes away. And I really needed Bobby here at this time.
Photos of Kirit with her grandmother as a child and dancing together.
On one of her last days in the hospital, she'd asked for my forgiveness that she couldn't wait for Bobby to come and to see us married.
Along with the video of them singing are messages of condolence.
Bobby promised me, no matter what, he will make it for my grandmother's funeral.
On the sofa, Kirit lowers her eyes.
And he didn't come.
All these promises, all these plans and everything just goes, it hurts me. It hurts me.
I'm just angry and I want answers. I absolutely lose it at Bobby. I was screaming at him on the phone, saying, I don't care, whatever happens, you come now. I don't need your presence, I don't need anything, I just need you to come. And literally, I'm giving him an ultimatum. I don't let him get a word in edgeways. I was just... had it. finally, Bobby tells me I'm coming tomorrow.
Kirat messages, please let me know when you're on the flight. Bobby replies, having to run. Kirat, just get on the flight, please.
I'm now 39. I'm scared of being disappointed. But at the same time, relieved that he's finally coming.
Kirat tracks a flight from JFK to Heathrow.
I'm getting updates from his flight for where his plane is in the air. Even though it's been really messy, this is it.
The tracker shows 1 hour and 49 minutes remaining. The plane comes into land.
We'd always talked about me meeting him at the airport, but everything's been so intense. We agree that Bobby might need some time to settle back in before he sees me. He books himself into a hotel in Kensington, near the hospital.
Kirat types, do you want me to come? Bobby replies, not yet, baby.
But after a couple of days, I've still not seen Bobby. From being relieved that he's come to London, thinking that finally we could just get on with everything. He's now, again, not seen me. My patience wears thin. The excuses were so pathetic.
Being sick, exhausted, my battery died.
I'm angry, but I'm upset. It's happening again. I just needed him to see me face to face. So I go to the hotel. I give Bobby's full name.
Reception, do a guest search.
And they can't find him. And I say he's been staying here for a couple of weeks at least now. And they're like, oh, there's nobody staying here by this name.
Simran's profile photo appears.
My hands begin to shake because I'm thinking this is all another lie. I call Simran. You know, I don't know who else to call by this time. And she's like trying to say, calm down. There must be a mistake. And as I'm talking to her, I get a call from Bobby. I say to him, I'm here at the hotel, just come downstairs. He's like, I've told reception to not let anyone know that I'm here. Don't surprise me like that. Just give me a couple of days. I'm angry. He's lying to me. So I say to him, what the hell's going on? You fucking don't show me your face or want to see mine. If you're here, why won't you see me? I need an answer.
The lights of London at night and Kirat's alarm.
But then Bobby moves into the house that I've known he's had in South Kensington.
Kirat drives to a square of colonnaded townhouses.
So I go to find this house.
Kirat walks along the pavement of Queensgate Gardens in affluent South Kensington.
I say to him, I can't find your house. I can't see you. I'm downstairs. I'm outside. Bobby was like, I can actually see you. And he's telling me it's the end house, it's by the end house, it's this one, but I don't want to see you. I've got a gut feeling that he's not even in Kensington. Nothing makes sense. And I'm questioning everything. Everything I've seen online.
I love you too much. It's not good. I want to marry you. The hospital bed.
I don't know what the truth is anymore. He's not with me. He must be with Sanj. She's the mother of Bobby's child.
At home, Kirat types on her laptop.
I googled Sanj. Her number's there. I call the number. Sanj immediately answers.
Bobby, is that you?
It sounded too natural and too normal. Like she was expecting a call from Bobby. And I just hung up. So it's very clear to me, Bobby's still speaking to Sanj. I feel like he's leading a double life. I need to find out what is going on.
A photo of Bobby and Sanj. Kirat types quickly.
I remember when I had been doing the family tree for Bobby. I'd come across a postcode for Sanj's parents' house.
Kirat drives up the street after dark.
Sanj leaves a house in front of me and walks past my car. And I remember like one bit of me so angry, I want to just turn the engine on and just like put my foot down the accelerator, but that's not me. And I was just like so, I was scared. I was so scared. I was losing the will. I was beginning to not recognize myself.
Back home, Kirat gets on her laptop.
And I do something really drastic and I just search Private Investigator London.
She types, I'm looking for the address of Bobby Jandu, DOB, 21st February 1981.
I ask for Bobby's current address. That's all I ask for. Within 24 hours, I get an email saying this is Bobby's current address. And it's over an hour's drive from London in Brighton.
Kirat freezes, staring off.
I was like, screw it, let's just go.
She drives through daytime countryside. Windscreen wipers sweep away rain and the sat-nav shows the way along a dual carriageway.
I'm just watching Google Maps, counting down the minutes.
She drives along a country road with woods either side.
I've got knots in my stomach.
Low-rise Brighton stretches from the sea to inland hills. Kirat parks up and gets out of the car.
I'm gearing myself up to see him.
Kirat walks up the drive of a smart modern brick house. On the sofa, she takes a deep breath.
I had to really control myself.
She approaches the grey front door in an arched porch.
I ring the doorbell.
A man in a turban enters the interview room and settles calmly on a leather sofa. Bobby. At the house, someone comes down the stairs and the front door opens. Bobby steps out onto the porch.
At first, I don't see anybody. And on glancing past the driveway, I see this woman walking away. She turns around. She makes eye contact. And she starts walking back towards the house.
A child's mobile and a little boy playing with a toy elephant. A young woman sits on the interview sofa. Sanj.
We weren't expecting anybody, so I dressed our son up and then went downstairs. There was a girl standing right there. I'd never seen her in my life.
She says, hi, Bobby, it's me, Kirat. My wife's Angie is like, Bobby, who is this?
And, you know, he just looked at me and he said,
I have no idea who this lady is. I've never spoken to her in my life. The lady looks straight at me. Liar, she says. Liar, how can you say this?
Why are you lying to me? You've been talking to me for 8 years. You know, all the messages and all the calls. He's done nothing in the past that I shouldn't, you know, that I can't trust him for. But who is she? Why is she here?
Kirit clutches her head.
I could just see her, like, hyperventilating.
She's getting really agitated, really anxious. So I say to her, you might be confusing me for my younger brother, JJ. We've often been confused for one another. We look fairly similar.
And she says, no, Bobby Jandu. And then she showed him a picture of himself. Then she looks directly at me, makes eye contact, and says, Sanj. And then she points at my son and says his name.
We needed to figure out how she knew our names and how she knew where we lived. I've got my son just behind me, and I'm starting to fear how this could turn out, because we don't know who this complete stranger is.
Sanj holds their son. Bobby sits calmly on the leather sofa.
I've caught Bobby red-handed. He's come to the UK for me, and here he is with Sanj. And he was acting like he didn't know me. That was even worse. Everything around me was spinning. The very fact that they were together hurt. But then my phone rings, and it's Bobby.
It's my face, but that's not my number.
And so he's like, see?
That's not me calling you. Somebody's pretending to be me.
And in my head, that's Sanj inside calling to prove something. I'm scared. You don't know what they're capable of. I didn't know what to believe.
And it's at this point she says,
you talk to Simran all the time. My cousin Simran. And he was like,
the only Simran I know is this girl my brother dated.
So I called her and I said, Sim, I'm with Bobby right now.
She says, he's denying everything. I sort of interject, can I please speak to Simran?
Bobby takes Kirit's phone.
Simran, hi, this is Bobby here. I've got this lady outside my house claiming all these things that I've known her for years. She says, it's my cousin. She's just confused. Give her the phone back and I'll try and figure out what's going on.
Simran says, leave there, Kirit. She says, just leave there.
My wife deadlocks the door, latch on, makes sure the door is secure. We're looking at each other, and then there's a bang on the door.
Kirit's on the porch.
This time I hear the chain unlock. Like I'm somebody that's going to break their door down or barge my way into the house.
She looks at Sanj and says, I know you're staying at your parents' house in London because I've seen you there with your son.
Oh my God. How long has she been watching me for? Did she do that a lot? And she mentioned that she felt such a strong connection to Bobby's son, and she had these presents that she wanted to give to him. She said something like, I've always felt he's my stepson.
This freaks me out because we don't know what she's capable of.
I just felt really scared.
I say, look, lady, we're calling the police.
Kirat drives back along the dual carriageway.
I was blinded by, like, my rage and my tears. I called Simran. I was crying and screaming. Simran's trying to keep me calm. While I'm talking to her, Bobby messages me.
It reads, "You've seen it all now. Sorry."
And it says, "I'm so sorry. You shouldn't have seen that." But I was angry. So angry at him. For me, it's over.
Kirat sits on the edge of her bed and puts her head in her hands.
It's a big betrayal of trust.
She types in capitals, "Sick and twisted. You are a psycho."
I didn't know what was going to happen to me now. Were they going to shame me? Were they going to turn on me? Where did I stand in all of this? What about my family?
Kirat sends more, all in capitals. "You abandoned me for her. Fucking bastard. You've ruined my life. Fuck you." The sun rises on her house.
When I wake up, Simran tells me that she's spoken with Bobby and that they called the police. I'm terrified of whatever they might have said because I haven't done anything wrong. And that scares me. So I'm like, I need to go to the police.
She tells Simran, "I'm calling the police." Simran replies, "No, don't do that. Just wait."
I'm in my room and I see a car pull up in the window. Simran gets out of the car. I've opened the door and she says to me, "I don't think I should come in." And she's got quite a serious face. I'm like, "Why?" She looks at me and she says, "It was all me." I'm like, "What do you mean it was all me?" She says, "I'm Bobby. I think slowly I'm registering she means that she's been pretending to be Bobby. But I can't quite understand." And I was like, calling out names. "What about Sanj? What about Yash? What about Rajveer? What about Kiran? What about so-and-so?" She's like, "It's all me. It was me. It was me. I was all of them." I suddenly question, who have I been sleeping on the phone with for the last 3 years?
Kirat compresses her lips.
She says, "It was me."
She becomes tearful.
Violated. I want to be sick. I know I'm just screaming at her, like, why? I just kept screaming, "Why? Why did you do it?" And she's like, she's ruined my whole life. She's stolen the best years of my life with me. And all she could say was that I ruined my own life. No expression, nothing.
Kirat stares off, her head shaking. Bobby smiles in the framed photo.
I received a message from Simran. It was basically me. I don't know why I did it. How can she pretend to be me for so long? And she's a girl doing it to her cousin. None of it made any sense. She goes on to say, I need counseling to help me work through it all. I'm sorry for everything. If you would be willing to deal with it without the police, come on. I respond, I will not be hiding anything from the police. And thank you for coming clean. Good luck.
A call from Brighton at Hove Police.
Brighton Police Station call me to say that Bobby told them that he had a confession from Simran and that I've been a victim of a crime and that I should report it to my local police station. But when I do, the officer tells me I'm not a victim. The real victims are the real Bobby and the real Sanj. And I say to the officer, I don't know how crudely to put this to you, but say it was an intimate situation with Bobby. I haven't given any consent to Simran to do anything with me, to be anything with me. It's deception. It's manipulation. The police aren't going to investigate it. So I had to eventually take matters into my own hands.
A photo of Bobby on a sailing boat on Facebook.
I immediately started trying to download evidence online. I start to download Skype messages, WhatsApp messages, images, collate everything on a massive spreadsheet, but I'm beginning to see profiles disappear.
Profiles suddenly become unknown user.
Simran created them all, she's making them disappear. And that's tampering with evidence. I'm trying to take as many screenshots as I can before they disappear. I collect hundreds of thousands of messages. We're talking about 10 years worth. When I think back to the club in Brighton, when I bumped into Bobby, which was the real Bobby, that is a sliding doors moment, but there's so many moments like that. I find out when Bobby's brother, JJ, added me on Facebook. It was actually Simran. Simran had dated JJ in real life, but they had broken up. And the version of JJ that I'd been introduced to was fake. Starting from there, every character connected to JJ, Bobby, everybody, is all Simran.
Simran's profile photo with the New York skyline as the background. Kirat works at her laptop.
As I'm looking into all these profiles, some of them are real people whose profiles had been duplicated. And some of them are totally made up. And some of them are just supporting characters, commenting on the main characters. The detail of the conversations. It was so elaborate, so huge.
Both Bobby and Yash's Facebook profiles had posts on them, like they were active, they were really there. I shared information with Bobby thinking that he was a medical practitioner. I was underage at this time, like that is sickening.
Kirat works at her laptop.
Ultimately, I find 60 profiles. 60.
Starting with the fake Rajveer, profiles scroll up her screen.
She used all these different guises to control me and hold my fears against me.
A photo of their baby appears on the message feed of B. Jandu.
In pictures sent to me, Bobby's son was wearing clothes that we'd picked together. Unbeknown at the time to me, those baby photos already existed on the real Bobby's Facebook page. Somehow, she had reverse engineered it to lead me
to pick those clothes.
Kirat and Simran together in a coffee shop.
There's even been times when I've been with Simran and she'd be fiddling on her smartwatch and I would get a message from Bobby. Now I realise that she was messaging me as Bobby while with me. Simran went to extreme lengths to deceive me. This didn't just impact me, it impacted my family. Everyone who thought they were speaking to Bobby, they were all victims too.
I think cruel is a word that I'd use to describe Simran. She's pushed so many people through trauma. It's just unbelievable. One person can do what they have.
Simran is someone who is from the community, knows Bobby, knows all these people, and has all the tools to create a massive web.
Simran knew that if I had mentioned this to my husband, he will definitely go and visit the family in Kenya. So I couldn't even talk openly to my husband. She tricked all of us.
I never even heard of catfishing before. Catfishing should be made a crime, you know. Why it happened, how it happened, beyond my knowledge.
I just want to ask Simran, why did she do this to Kirat? Did Kirat upset her in any way? I want an answer from Simran.
I think one of the reasons she did it was to feel a sense of power, to feel like she was controlling everything around her. Like, that's pretty damn sick.
I was targeted just for somebody's entertainment, I think. When somebody who knows you does this to you, you haven't got hope in hell.
Kirat sits pensively on the interview sofa. Titles. Kirat was catfished for almost 9 years. In 2020, Kirat took civil action against her cousin Simran. Kirat was paid compensation by Simran and received a private apology from her in 2021. Bobby.
I get a call from a lawyer working with Kirat. He gives me this folder, this thick, with details of this huge, elaborate scheme to convince Kirat that there is a fake version of me out there who is extraordinarily extravagant, but we're just a normal family with a very ordinary lifestyle. That moment was even more shocking than the morning that Simran confessed.
Titles. At the time of making this film, Simran has not been charged or prosecuted by the police. Kirat continues to raise awareness about the lack of legal frameworks to secure justice. The Desi Radio Studio.
My name's Kirat. I'm keeping you company until 6 o'clock today.
Catfishing is like a pop culture term where it's a bit of fun, it's entertainment for the onlookers. I want to help break the stigma to stop victims from being shamed. But we need to understand why the internet should be regulated.
Kirat walks along the south bank of the River Thames near the Houses of Parliament.
I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm looking for people to say this is wrong. We need to be making people accountable.
Kirat looks over the wall at the river.
I am now 44, and I'm doing my utmost to get my life to where it should be. Will I ever be a mum? You know, at my age now, it's a massive question mark. But I've got to be responsible for my future. Simran never will be.
Titles. Images of Simran have been represented by an actor. Some Facebook posts have been altered to protect the privacy of third parties or recreated from Kirat's testimony. Simran was offered the opportunity to be interviewed and declined. She said that this matter involves events that began when she was a schoolgirl. She considers it a private matter and strongly objects to what she describes as numerous unfounded and damaging accusations that have been made against her. Executive producers for Raw, Rebecca North, Fiona Stourton. Executive producer for Tortoise Media, Alexi Mostras. Editors, Nick Zimmerman, ACE, Alistair Bain. Director of photography, Jeffrey Sentamu. Composer, Roshan Gunga. Line producers, Felicity Arkell, Sasha Davies. Producer, Kieran Sira. Edit producer, Amber Phillips. Further production credits follow. Filmed with the support of the British Film Institute, the British Film Commission, and the UK Government's Creative Sector Tax Relief. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Copyright 2024, Netflix. Audio description by Adrenaline Studios, written and voiced by Roland Beer. Raw. All Three Media. An All Three Media company. Albert Carbon Neutral Sustainable Production.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colours.